What was her teacher telling this princess? She was telling her, don't settle for anything cheap. And you know, some of you young people, you've substituted good things for cheap things. And so now, some of you got to sneak out and listen to cheap music. Sorry music. That's worthless. It's not going to build you up. I'm sorry, coming into a church and raising my hands and getting some fuzzy feeling doesn't bring me closer to God. And somebody, as I talked to our church the other day about it, somebody comes in and says, hey, amazing grace. Ooh, I like that sound. You know what? Get out of my ear! I don't think when I hear that, that my God is great. I don't think when I hear that, that man, if I could just get into the Word more. And the reason that churches today and some of you young people are now being led down this cheap music road is because we got a bunch of churches that have lost the power of God. And I can tell you this, when you get into a church that is fired up for God, that is excited about doing something for God and lifting up Jesus, man, I tell you what, I want to be there. I want to be there. There's nothing wrong. Yeah, I love uplifting music. I love music to be done right. But I don't need sensuality. Sensuality can stay in Hollywood. And so can all these Hollywood Baptist churches and Hollywood Baptist colleges. Now stay out in Hollywood. And they can have the results because that's what's going to happen. They're going to have divorces. They're going to have immorality. They're going to have people on drugs. They're going to have therapists left and right. Because guess what? That's what you get with that cheap music. And some of you young people, you know what you need to do? We need to have a burning party. Woo! Now that'll preach. Let's light a fire and stick your junk cheap music there and burn it. I can remember when I was remodeling my house. I was remodeling my house about 12 years ago. Actually, I was putting in an addition. Preacher calls it the Taj. All right, I put an office on the side of my house. He said most people put an addition like a bedroom, like a bathroom, you know, a master bedroom. Well, I put an office. But it's nice. You know what I mean? It should be. You know what I mean? Do it as heartily. You know, when you do something, you do it with all your might, right? You know, do it right. All right, so I do. I have a nice office, and it's very insulated. You have to walk through my bedroom to get to it. So I can close my bedroom door, close my office door, and I have no clue what Jake and Clint are doing. All right, he's there with little Archie and Ben being like, and I can be sitting there. I can remember when my kids were 2 and 4, I'd be out there, and I'd be in glory worshiping. I mean, the Spirit would be speaking for hours, like, whoa! All right, now there, that was just a little, you know what I mean? But that was an okay charismatic thing, and I was like, ah! All right, and then I'd walk back into the rest of the house area after a hike, you know, coming back in. Like, wow, hey, what's going on? I mean, my wife's like, where you been? It's like, well, I was just with the Lord. You know what I mean? I was just, you know, just with the, she's like, you know what? These boys. I mean, I was like, you know what? I haven't heard anything, you know? And so, and then also, I mean, I've got this stereo out there that, man, you can turn the stereo on, and then you really don't, I mean, the whole house, there could be, like, Russia could come over top, drop a bomb on that half of the house, like one of those smart bombs, like, all right, hit that side, I'd be with my music, ooh, yes, all right, and I'd walk out and be like, whoa, where'd my house go? All right, but I can remember I had someone build that. Okay, they were building that addition. I was down in my office, and I got a phone call. He's like, you know what? You probably want to come up to the house. It just didn't sound good in the voice. So I ran up to the house, and off of my bedroom, I have a sunroom. All right, there's a sunroom there, kind of a little sitting area, and it was gone. That wasn't part of the remodel. All right, and there was a there's a like a jacuzzi tub that sits there, and it was outdoors now. I'm like, you know, that was supposed to be indoors. And he's like, oh, no, you got to look over. And I had a dumpster, and I saw flames shooting up out of the dumpster. He's like, yeah, look over there. And I look in, and there's just like, there's ants everywhere. Well, they hadn't used, on that section of the house, they had not used treated lumber, and carpenter ants had basically destroyed everything. And they were gone. And he said, the way you deal with it is burn them. And you know what? That's what you do with cheap music. You burn it. Get rid of it. You know, cheap music, cheap standards. You know, there are cheap standards out there. Yeah, you can buy them cheap. And they don't last. They're not worth a lot. There's cheap standards. You know, there's cheap morals. And some young people get caught in, and you're building a structure, and somebody cons you into buying cheap morals. So it's just a little touch. I couldn't believe this. Right, I was sitting with a preacher. I never knew who it was. Now I do. He's almost dead, but I won't say the name. But there was a guy back in the 80s that came to preacher a long time ago. And this guy was very well known. I knew his name, kind of somewhat, but I knew he ran a big church. Man, he was successful, and he would most of his students went to other big colleges. Well, he got mad at those colleges, and the reason it came up is because there was a pastor here, and he was the man that this guy got mad at. All right, so it kind of came up, and he was like, oh, get out of here. All right, and he was, you know, he was just a young preacher, and this pastor came in and said, you know what? You know, I'm not putting up with this guy. And so he pulled all these students, and he had pull over all these churches, and all these students left that college. Well, in the 80s, this man set up an appointment with our preacher. He came in, and he said, hey, really like your college. It's like, yeah, well, that's good. He said, so tell you what, I was looking at some of the rules. There's one rule. If you just change it, I can guarantee you 200 students. He said, well, you know, I'd be the same way. What rule? What rule? What rule? You know, is it get up early? Yeah, we'll make that 15 minutes later. All right, yep. But he said, you know, that dating thing, you know, that chaperone dating, because we believe in chaperone dating in the college, and I believe it in my life, okay? So anytime I go on a date, no, I'm just kidding. All right, good, she's not here. All right, but I'm telling you, I'd be kicked out of the house tonight, so just, you know, keep that, erase that, okay? So thank you. But he said, I don't like that standard, the chaperone dating. And he said, this is what he said. All right, here's a preacher. He's like, you know what? He says, how in the world, how are you gonna buy a car when you don't drive it? That's what the preacher said in our preacher's pulpit. I mean, in the office. The preacher looked at him, he says, I don't know what you're saying or what you're getting at. He said, but it ain't happening here. It ain't happening here. You know what? And he sent his kids somewhere else. So what? So what? Because there are people that'll come and say, why don't you use this cheap product? You can have cheap morals. It's okay to touch. It's okay to do this and do that as far as with guys and girls. And some people say, man, it's just so rigid. Well, tell me. Tell me, is purity a problem in America? Is purity a problem? Oh, I mean, everybody's doing really good with that. No, we're not. And now nobody will preach about purity, and nobody will have any standards as far as the dating and the morals with their young people. And now we have young people that are sitting and going off, and they've got they're pregnant at this age, and they're expecting at this age. Like, well, what can you do? Have some standards. Buy the good stuff. Build a structure with the good stuff. I'm not going to settle for cheap materials. I'm not gonna use cheap music. I'm not gonna have cheap standards. I'm not gonna have cheap morals. I'm not gonna cheapen my mind. And some of you young people, you need to be careful. Now with technology, you can be anywhere, anytime, get anything, anytime. You have got to be careful. You don't think that the devil wants to ruin your future? Don't you think that the devil wants you to have a silly-looking structure? And you may be saved. You may have the foundation. But you'll have some silly structure put up on there. And the devil is going to mock you. He's going to scoff at you. And he's going to say, he's going to get a group of his people together and say, look at them silly Christians. Because he made a fool out of you. Protect your mind. Don't settle for cheap things. Get rid of the junk. Don't let cheap materials stay in your house. We could have a bonfire. We could burn it. I was reading about a preacher who was illustrating this, and he was comparing piles of hay and little pieces of gold. And this is what he said. He said, you know, most people would come by and be like, whoa, man, that guy's got a truckload of hay. But what's it worth? And this guy's got two little pieces of gold. I hope, most of you, all right, maybe then we could get back to not just the mind. We should go, all right, and not the Holy Spirit. We'll just use it. Okay, right on your head. Because if you're like, oh, look at all this hay. You know what? You're probably related to some type of animal. Maybe you're evoluted. Okay, that's my own word. Maybe you are evoluted. So your animal instincts are coming out. But you know, most of us would say, well, that's silly. That's worthless. But sometimes we have the same mentality spiritually. We look at this and say, wow, they got so much, and it's wood, hay, and stubble. The gold is just small there, isn't it? So what's my warning? Don't use cheap materials. What's my second one? Don't settle for cheap tools. Don't settle for cheap tools. Or cheap plans. Using the right tools gets the job done faster. I've learned that, and I don't build much. All right, I've learned that. And the devil has cheap counterfeit tools for everything. You know, we were talking about it at lunch the other day. Do you know they're coming out with a Queen James Bible? Yeah, the homos are. All right, the Sodomites are coming out with a Queen James Bible. All right, in fact, I looked up this afternoon. Do you know, there a guy just came out with a redneck Bible. Now some of you are like, ooh, where's that at? Oh, yeah, oh, that's for me. All right, they didn't come out with a redneck Bible. All right, they got an Ebonics Bible. They got this Bible and that Bible. And you know what happens? We talked about the tape measure. We talked about these other things. When you have a counterfeit tool, you aren't measuring right. And then all of a sudden, you get down the road, you put up this structure and say, wait, the walls are wrong. I thought the walls were over there. Well, you used the wrong measuring tool Because the devil's going to sell you a wrong tool. He's going to give it. He's got counterfeits out there. You know, there's even some people, in some ways, the devil almost has a counterfeit Holy Spirit. You know, I just feel this. You know, I feel this. And you know what? I almost call the counterfeit Holy Spirit is the name, as far as preachers, they know it. It's called God's will. I'm not supposed to be able to say anything to anybody. They're like, Pastor, I believe I should have two wives. It's God's will. Hey, Cole, well, you know, I was thinking, no. I said, it's God's will. Well, I mean, can we look at the, I said, God's will. So I can't say anything now because this nebulous, God's will came. I was like, you can have four wives. Like, no, you can't do that. Like, no, I know. It's God's will. No, you don't. You know what? God puts things into your life. He puts people into your life. He puts a church in your life. He puts master builders in your life. He gives you authority in your life. He gives you all these things. He gives you a tape measure. He gives you a level. And all those things you chuck aside and you say, well, it's God's will. No, it's not. You settled for a cheap tool. It's a cheap tool. The devil sends all kinds of different things. And the devil will even sell you, you know what? A fake set of plans. He's got a fake set of plans for your life. And he's going to tell you that this structure is a multi-million dollar facility. Unmatched. But the plans are missing a few things. You just don't know it. And what he's going to tell you is, you got to go to the bank. And basically, you sell almost your soul to get that set of plans. And then you get them and you realize there's a lot missing. Some of you, oh, that's what you've got. You got it all set out. You got your plan for your life and you bought it. And in your mind right now, you're saying, yeah, and it's good. I can tell you, if you bought it from who I think you bought it from, it's missing a lot. And you're not even smart enough to know it. Because you're a silly little teenager that says, I know more. I don't need a master builder. I don't need authority. I don't need a tape measure. I don't need any of that. I know what I'm doing. Go ahead and build it. Go ahead and build it. And sometimes I think that, man, people are going to come back. And, man, they're just going to get right, you know, after 10 years or 15 years or 20 years. That doesn't always happen, young person. It doesn't always happen. Sometimes they go and go and go. And you're going to die. And you're going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to be there, and you're going to have a whole pile of stuff, and you're going to be like, man, look at you. Look at all my stuff here. And then God brings the fire. And boom! All of your life is gone except for the foundation. And this guy over here, who you were laughing at, he's got a lot more than you. Oh, use good stuff. Don't settle for cheap material. Don't settle for cheap tools. And as we close, don't rush the builder. Don't rush the builder. I was teaching on the family to our church a few weeks ago. And I was mentioning to them about the curing process of concrete. I was trying to encourage some of our young couples. All right, we got some young couples, man, and I've been through it. My kids are a little older now. I've got a couple of teenagers and one almost a teenager. Pastor Parrish, I can't wait. It is so exciting because I knew it. I told Mrs. Morrow, I've been threatening him. I was like, you know what? I'm going to kick you out of my youth group. And now I don't have to. He can. Oh, that is so hard. All right, but you haven't met him. You know what? You take him for a week, and you'll be saying the same thing. All right? But anyways, I was teaching on the family and was talking about the curing process of concrete. And it takes at least 28 days for concrete to cure, at least, if you're putting in that foundation. Now, if you're building a house that is about 1,600 square feet, that's not a huge house. It's not but it's not necessarily a small house. It's a pretty good-sized house, but it's not massive. But a 1,600-square-foot house, most builders would say it takes them about 5 months, maybe 4 months. All right, I read one guy who said 2 weeks, and I was like, no. I would not hire that guy, all right? But most say 4 to 5 months. So if you, let's take the max, let's say 5 months, and we got 28 days that it's got to cure. Do you realize that basically 1 out of 5 months, the house, you don't see anything. See nothing. Well, you see that, like, well, what are they doing there? They just poured some concrete and left. Well, I have another structure right here. This was March 2nd, 1973, the Skyline Plaza. Okay? They were building it. It was a huge skyscraper. It was going to be, you know, at the top was going to be penthouses. They were going up, and they were on the 23rd floor, and they poured the concrete on the 23rd floor. And then some of the builders like, man, it seems dry. And so they started building above it, and it gave way, fell on the 22nd. 22nd had the 22nd and the 23rd now. So that fell on the 21st. So now the 21st had the 22nd and the 23rd all the way down to the bottom. The whole structure, boom! Why? Because they rushed the builder. And some of you, this is what you got to understand as a young person. Building does take time. It's going to take some time. All right? Right now, we can have a little fun right now. We can like this because right now, you're just a small little dork. I mean, everyone's like, I'm just a small little dork and I got this. I mean, my pimples are as big as me. I'm like, man, I got a pimple the size of my head. You know what? That's a stage of life you're at. And you will be happy when you're through with it. All right? You will. But that's the stage. And that's just physically. All right? Physically, I've got to wait. All right? Physically, I've got to wait. I've got to grow up. Spiritually, it takes some time. So don't rush God. You know, don't rush Him. You know, right now in your teen years, let God say, God, what do you want? And just take time and let Him build you. Don't rush the builder. You don't have to be out at 17. You know what? It worked for Spurgeon. But I'm pretty sure you're not him. In fact, I'm positive you're not because your name ain't. There's only one guy I met, and he's in Ohio. He was a youth pastor, and his name was Spurgeon. Okay, but you're not Spurgeon. You're not T.O. Moody. You're not whoever. You know what? God has a plan for you. Use the right materials. Don't substitute tools. And don't rush them. Just take those steps now. You know, don't come up to the builder and be like, come on! Come on! You know what will happen? We do that here sometimes. We come up against the clock. In fact, in this auditorium, there are things that drive me crazy because we built this auditorium, the inside of the auditorium, in about 15 weeks. This thing was all scaffolding. And I can remember, there's one of these lights every once in a while, and it might be that one right there. But in fact, we got two out right now, so it could be both of them. Okay, but one of them, every once in a while, it's like, bzz, bzz. right? When we sit in here, and you'll notice that people get this weird look because it'll like, and it doesn't make any noise, but I notice it, and I'm like, poof. And there's this, the light's on. I'm like, yeah. All right? And then it's like, poof, light's off. All right? And you know why? Because in a few weeks, we had to get the electricity on. Move it. All right, I can remember, man. We had. All right, this shows you how sorry we were. We had teenagers do a lot of the wiring. Yeah. All right. So, Pastor Vogelin has it. He had a bad electrician. Pastor Vogelin at his house. We always joke about it. In his living room, he turns on a switch, and we have no idea what it turns on. So we figure there's something at my house that goes like, and all of a sudden, my sink was like, we're like, wait. I call him, turn that switch off. He had some nutty electrician up there like, yeah, why don't you put a switch there? I mean, you know what? You can't do that. So guess what? Don't rush the builder. Don't rush him. Let God do his work. Let God work in your life. And I think God will bless. He wants to do the work of helping you build a good house that can bring honor to God. I'll close with this. I was trying to figure out how to weave this in because I love telling Jake stories. But there's two of them. The teens have heard the one. All right. And actually, you'd say, man, you know, why do you actually, if I tell Jake's story, he right there, he's got serious ADHD. You know what I mean? So he's like, all right? You're like, you know what? I'm making fun of you. All right? He's like, can you give me more? I'm like, there's something wrong with him. All right? I don't know where he came from. All right? No idea. But one story, I told him one time, hey, Jake, you know, he was like, Dad, you know, the gutters, they're starting to pull away from the, they're starting to pull away from the house. I'm like, oh, yeah, you know, that's what's happened. I'll have to get them replaced. Or it's like, Dad, you mind if I fix them? And I don't know why. I said yes. I went out later, and this one gutter was just bubbling over. And I'm like, what in the world? I mean, there's a huge downspout there. I'm like, Jake! So he comes over and like, Jake, didn't you fix this thing? Well, what's up? It's like, yeah, Dad. And so I looked down there, and I've never seen, I mean, he had nails, screws, all in this. He must have had 15 right in the same spot. And that thing was never going to move from the house. But no water could flow. It was like one of those little games, you know, that you crisscross. He had all of it right there. I'm like, Jake. But then, about a year and a half ago, he's like, Dad, we gave him, have you ever heard of the dangerous book for boys? Oh, yeah. Oh, man, he just scours that thing. He's like, Dad, there's a raft in there. Like, well, yeah. I mean, yeah, that looks good. And so at the beginning of last summer, or maybe I think it was last summer, you know, it was the year before,